Hello, everyone. It's so good to see you all here. Good to have everyone here. I'm going to give you a minute to come on in. Can you hear me okay? I would love a thumbs up. All right. I am feeling better today, Annette. Thank you for asking. I had a, you know, every now and then you just get a, you have a down day, right? And that's okay. That's okay. All right. So let's get rolling. I already have a hand raised, but we will have time for several of you tonight. So if you want to be coached, you can go ahead and raise your hand. I am going to pop out the chat just in case something crazy happens. But if you need to ask me a question, it's best to use the Q&A. Since I won't be in the chat much at all. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and call up Miss Julie. Let's get you started, Julie. She's coming. That's awesome. Hello.
Well, this is a treat.
How are you? It's good to see you.
Well, I had a procedure recently, so I just woke up from my timer on my phone saying, "Wake up, you're on with Kathy."
come on in, right?
Okay, so my question, so this is open coaching, right?
Well, this is, how to feel the hard stuff without
Okay,
eating. What are you feeling that's hard, Julie?
this is really hard to talk about. Okay, so a year and a half ago, as a healthy 57-year-old, I got a really strange diagnosis, unique, and it left me with a spinal column leak, which took away, I can't do any of my normal stuff. I can't work right now. I can't work out. I can maybe walk 20 minutes to a 10-minute walk, maybe 20. Been doing a lot of procedures to try to be able to be upright. My problem is with spinal fluid being irregular in your body, you can't be upright because you have severe headaches, dizziness, all kinds of things, memory fog, brain fog, all kinds of things. So anyway, so I've had some procedures and I had a surgery. I just had a procedure 4 weeks ago. I don't think it worked to help me be upright longer. So I'm starting to say, how do you do grief and acceptance like at the same time? You have to grieve where you were, but you also can't stay in that past of, I used to be able to do this. My friends are all doing their normal lives. It's very hard for me to hear them, going on trips and they go to Pilates and they go play golf and they go do all the things that I can't do right now, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to do it again. So, how do you do the grief? And one part of a spinal problem is if you cry, you have the worst intense pain in your head you've ever experienced. So you can't do that type of release. I'm proud to say in a year and a half, I've only gained 10 pounds and I'm maintaining. So I'm very proud of that, especially being so limited in my movement. So it's just how to balance that.
So
You
tell me
know,
what you think grief is, Julie.
grief to me is the loss of my life.
Okay.
Doing normal things that I think we take for granted. I just woke up one day with a headache, and it just has gone now to this. Now I'm a chronic person with this rare condition. So grief to me is seeing a picture and remembering, oh my God, like what would that feel like to be that person again?
Okay.
How do you say, well, that was me now then, but now I'm this limited 59-year-old that doesn't do much in the day anymore, that can't do much right now. I had a procedure, there's still hope. Maybe this one will get me further being upright. But the grief is just the mourning, the loss of what I used to do.
Okay. And I think you've hit on it pretty closely there. You're mourning the loss. Okay. And when you're mourning the loss, you are understanding that there is a loss, correct? Okay. And when you're able to understand that there is a loss, you know, there's I talk about this three-step process quite a bit when it comes to tough emotions. The very first step is to, you know, to understand and to validate. So for you understand that you have this diagnosis. You validate it. It's there. Is the diagnosis accepted?
Have I accepted it? Well, I guess. I mean, I guess yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm not fighting it, so
You're not
yes.
okay, so you're not fighting it. And how do you know you're not fighting it?
Because I listened to my body, like I just fell asleep for an hour. Like I don't
Right.
want to sleep in the day, but I have to sleep right now in the day.
Okay. So you're not fighting it. You've accepted it. You're going to the doctor. You're having procedures. You're resting when you need to. You're doing everything you're told to do. That's kind of part of living this life that you have right now today. Right? How is, okay, step two is normalizing how you're feeling. Of course, you look back and you go, I used to go to Pilates. I used to have a coaching business. I used to sell real estate. I used to walk my dogs. I used to. Of course, I'm sad. Why wouldn't I be sad? Okay, so you kind of normalize it and say, and give yourself permission to see that, you know, life for you right now is a little bit different than it was before, or maybe a lot different. And then the third step is permission to feel. And I think that's probably what you're here for, is to give yourself permission to be sad that you have this diagnosis. But I think you can be sad and accept the diagnosis at the same time, right? Because you're already doing it.
Yeah, I feel like you're kind of forced. I guess you're not, but I feel like I'm
Oh,
forced.
no, you're not forced.
I
Oh, no. You could have said, oh, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm just going to live with my headaches. I'm just
Oh,
going to, right.
boy.
So I don't know that you were forced. I think there was decisions. Maybe I'm wrong. You tell me, did you make decisions along the way for your treatment?
I did. Yep.
And why did you make those decisions?
Because I want to try to get my life back and get me healed.
And is there potential for that if you continue to make these decisions?
Yeah.
Okay. So where are we now? You asked me at the beginning, how do you do grief and acceptance at the same time?
Oh, it's just like my brain gets so tired. It's like you want to have this big pity party, and then you're like, well, then you got to get off of the floor if your brain being so sorry for yourself. Oh, God. It's like this revolving circle, and yeah.
Is that normal? Is the pity party normal when you've been given a diagnosis that you're having to work through that has limited your life activity?
Yes. I'm
So
in
is it?
Facebook groups for people with this condition. Yes, we're all very similar to how we feel.
So what helps you most? When you use the term pity party in the floor, what helps you most when you're in that state?
Nothing helps me in that state. Makes me worse.
Does it?
I mean, I guess it's a release. But it's very negative. It's very sad. Makes me just want to be in bed all day. I mean, it doesn't push me to do what I can do for the day.
Is it honoring what you're feeling?
Yeah.
So what's good or not so good about honoring what you're feeling?
I think how to honor what you're feeling and then be able to normalize it so you don't feel so sad. Like
Yeah.
it's very hard to lift myself up from that low place.
So I would offer you that when you honor a feeling, when you allow it to be there, it actually burns off faster than if you resist the feeling. Okay? I'm not going to feel self-pity today. Nope, no matter what happens, I'm not going to feel self-pity today. I'm just not, you know, and then you get super agitated because you're not going to feel something when if you felt it and you got on the floor and you cried for a minute, it's going to burn off. And you're going to move on to I'm going to get in the bed now, or I'm going to sit up and watch a little TV. Or, you know, it kind of you shift into another mode when you honor a feeling. Do you ever experience that?
Yeah, but the headaches are just so severe. If I cry, I don't know another way to release it that's that strong. Like it feels good to release it, but then the pain is so unbelievably severe for
Okay.
days. It's not worth it. So I don't know how else to release it to that magnitude.
All right. So you said, I don't know another way to release the emotion. One
Yeah.
popped into my head, clear as a bell. Does it, anybody else have any ideas on how to release an emotion other than crying?
Scream.
Maybe. Ah, Robin hit mine, journaling. What if you
It's
were to write about it? Can you write about it? Type about it? Talk to somebody about it?
not really. I mean, I can talk to somebody about it, but that
Can you
not
talk to yourself about it? I
yeah.
don't know. Are you able to, with the stuff that you've got going on, are you able to journal?
Oh, yeah,
Okay.
I do.
So let's start there. What if you were to tell your journal, this sucks. I'm in self-pity land, and I'm just going to write about it until I'm just going to write about self-pity until I'm tired of writing about self-pity.
Okay, see, I use the journaling for the opposite. I only do it for being thankful
Oh.
because I don't want my brain to be in the bad place.
Okay. But you, why don't you want your brain to be in the bad place? Because you're afraid you'll cry or some other reason?
Oh, I cry all the time now. Just to feel that sadness. Just it's so deeply sad. So I guess it's just painful.
What would happen if you journaled about the pain?
Could definitely try it.
What do you think might happen if you journaled about the pain?
It could be a release to get it on the paper.
Have you ever had the experience in your journal? Well, you said that you only journal about the happy stuff, the gratitude. But I have journaled about, I call it ugly journaling. I mean, I pour out all the thought errors, all the ugly, all the things I know I shouldn't be thinking. I throw them into my journal. And by the time I'm finished writing, I have either forgiven the person that's wronged me. I've forgiven myself. I've moved on to something else. It's like a whole therapy session in my journal just by free writing all the, I call it the ugly, all the ugly that's in my head. It's like cleaning out the attic. You ever heard me use that analogy before? I don't know about your house. I don't have much of an attic in mind, but I have had attics before where the boxes are everywhere. My basement is like this. I got stuff in that basement that doesn't need to be in that basement. But if I go down there and I like line up the boxes nice and I sweep out the floor and I, you know, maybe throw open a window a little bit, then it feels like it's more manageable. It feels like, I've cleaned out the dust. That's what you're doing when you're journal, when you're journaling, especially the ugly stuff, the stuff that, you just want to pour out somewhere that you think you shouldn't be thinking, but you are. Just pour it into that journal. It's like sweeping out your basement, sweeping out your attic, because it's your brain. Okay.
Okay.
And I picture all of that angst rolling out of my head, down my arm, and out my fingertips into my book. And that feels so cleansing to me. So when it comes to grief or sadness or mourning or wishing and yearning and wanting something different, sometimes if you journal about it or talk to a friend or cry it out, you allow those emotions, you end up feeling better somehow, either with a salve or a good cleansing or something like that. Also helps your nervous system, because I bet when you're super upset about, you're already nodding. When you're super upset about your diagnosis, your nervous system gets all jacked up, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what you need is some kind of release for all of those thoughts that you're trying not to think. You've got to let them be there. You've got to give them space. And I'd give it to them in your journal if that works for you. That's what I'd start with.
Okay.
What do you
And
think
how
about
do you end it in the journal? Do you end it on a positive note, or do you keep it the ugly?
that? I just write until I'm done. Sometimes it ends, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I continue it the next day. There's no really right and wrong way to do it. It's what works for you. So if you're the type of person, and I know you are, you're very upbeat and happy. If you're the type of person that needs to end the ugly journaling with three things that went right today, or this is what I plan to do tomorrow, or I'm going to feel better because, that's fine. You have to find your little nuanced way of managing it.
Oh, just so somebody said they hit their pillow. I think I'm gonna try that.
Anything, when you're super agitated like that, and I know grief usually is below home base, okay? But if you're upset about your diagnosis and you're screaming and crying and beating the pillow and stuff, you're probably above home base. So whatever you can do to release energy is going to be helpful. Okay. And hitting the pillow is releasing energy for sure. Okay. It's, boom, 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 but if you're way below home base and you're very sad and you're not wanting to move and you're all cowered over, you want to add a little bit of energy to your body very slowly. Just a little bit of movement, a little bit of energy. Kind of think about it like you're thawing out. Okay, it's a slow process. So just add a little bit of energy. And honestly, journaling will work either way because it's a creative process.
Okay.
Other creative processes work too, like painting. Do you like to paint?
I haven't never done that. I think about it, but I mean, I used to think about it, but.
Yeah, paint by numbers. I have a client who does paint by numbers, loves it. She's got them all over her house. Music.
Yeah, I do.
Music helps. Yeah, anything like that. But honestly, the key for you is going to be to honor the emotions. Let them be there. Allow yourself to have them. Because those of us that like to go straight to the positive aren't honoring the 50-50. And you have to do that in order to. In order to give yourself the full life experience.
So what if it never, what if the grief never goes away? You just keep doing it, I
Well,
guess.
I think about when I think about grief, I think about losing my dad. Okay. And the grief, he died in 2015. And the grief was very intense for a couple of years. Well, I'm 9 years in now and I still miss him, but I don't have that soul wrenching grief anymore. It over time, his being gone has normalized for me. Okay, I just know he's not here anymore. I can still talk to him. He's just not going to answer me. Okay. So As long as you're honoring the grief and feeling it, it will normalize for you in this situation, the grief for your health. And for you, this positive, beautiful light that you have, you said that there's a chance you'll heal from this. There are better days to come. I just say, today's a tough one. There's better days to come. I'm going to manage today. I'm going to honor what I'm feeling. Maybe tomorrow will be better. But if it's not, I know how to manage it because I managed today.
Just that resistance of not wanting that day. I don't want
Yes. And the
that day.
resistance that's very key, Julie, because the resistance will only amplify the grief. Okay. If you allow it to be there, it's going to burn off that much faster. The
Good.
resistance, though, pressure, but it makes it a pressurized situation, which only amplifies the feeling.
Okay. I'll add this to my list of morning things.
Okay. Good
Okay.
to see you. Does
You
that help?
too.
Does that
Yeah.
help?
But there's no magic wand. I mean, nobody can take it away, unfortunately. And I mean, you just get up every day and you do the best you can. And I'm standing. I could only stand for 45 minutes a day for almost 3 months. And now I'm on my feet all day. Not feeling great, but I'm on my feet all day. I'm not crawling on the ground anymore. So I mean, there's improvements.
Yeah. That's I would look at those as well. I'd look at the improvements as well. On those, at the very bottom of your journal after you've ugly journaled, maybe you write the improvements that you see.
Okay.
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 But make sure
So
you're honoring it all, friend, okay?
okay. You look beautiful.
Oh, thank
Good to
you.
see you.
It's good to see you too. Take
Okay,
good
now
care of yourself, okay?
thank you. How do I stop this? I've never done this before.
I will put you back as an attendee. You don't have to do a thing.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. All right. Mary Elizabeth, you are next. And then I don't have any hands, y'all. If anybody else wants to be coached tonight. Good. I got another one. All right, Mary Elizabeth, let's see what you got. Oh, she declined. Okay. Julie. Julie did not decline. Awesome.
I was
Hello.
supposed to go have time to brush my teeth.
I can't smell your breath, girl.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm not 100% sure what my question is. My mom died on Friday. So 4 days ago, 5 days ago. And Betsy, Coach Julie, everybody's always been trying to make me feel those damn feelings. And so I have. But they come at the worst times. Like I'm in the Target parking lot getting something, and I hear a song that my mother used to sing. And people who say, oh, a good cry feels so good. That's some, you know what, that I'm not there. Like, I feel worse afterwards. So maybe that's what I want coaching him. But the other thing is, Corinne said, this has been a 2 year thing. My mom has had dementia. I lived up there for a while. It has been the longest goodbye. But when she actually left, I'm just left stunned and shocked that it actually happened. But that's one shoulder. The other shoulder, and Corinne said it's okay to feel this way. I have such overwhelming relief. And this huge burden has been lifted. And then I'm trying really hard to do thought work and journaling on not feeling guilty because I have three feelings. I have really, really sad, almost giddy relief, and then guilt about that. But I'm working on I'm trying not to feel guilty.
But one of the things I feel
Why
the
are you
most
trying not
guilty,
to feel guilty?
well, because that feel it feels like I'm judging myself. I'm judging that I shouldn't feel relief. And I have been told I shouldn't judge myself as much as I do. And one of the things I feel the most relief about is that I can come to camp. And I was scared to death that something would happen and I wouldn't be able to come, and or any of the anything else in the future. Like, I haven't made any plans for future travel because she kind of took a turn in about 2 weeks ago. So I don't know. What do, I don't know if I need if I'm I just want to know if I'm doing it right.
Are you allowing the feelings to be there?
Yeah, I am. Usually.
Are you judging the feelings?
I'm not judging when I feel sad.
Okay.
I'm judging. I don't think it's bad that I feel relief. I'm saying it's normal that I feel relief because I do feel relief. I feel like I'm on a huge roller coaster. Now, it's only been 4 or 5 days. Maybe that's normal. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, 4 or 5 days in after the death of your mom, you're probably bombarded with feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, I dream about things. I wake up, but yeah. Yes, absolutely.
But let's
Yeah.
talk about, we can normalize the stunned she's gone, of course. And we can normalize the overwhelming relief because she has required a lot of your care.
Oh, yeah.
How can we normalize the guilt?
Oh. I thought that just had to go away.
So I'm
Guilt.
a believer that there are no right or wrong feelings. Okay? That your feelings are there to give you a message, to tell you something about yourself. Okay? Sometimes they come from your brain, sometimes they come from just being around. Sometimes they come from thoughts, sometimes they come from another feeling, but they're always there and they're not wrong. They're just a signal that we're thinking something or that something's going on around us. So if we kind of neutralize guilt and say it's not good or bad, how can you normalize it?
Well, I could say society, or no, not even society, my thoughts of what I in the past, what my thoughts of what I should think or feel or act when my parent dies is just sadness, and that's it. And that's probably why I feel guilty when I feel relief, and that would be understandable. Something like that.
Okay.
I
Tell
mean,
me.
that's a past thought that I've had in the past.
How does that feel when you think that? In my mind, you said, in my mind, you should always feel sad when your parents die. And here I'm feeling relief and I shouldn't feel relief. Right. So you're normalizing it that way, right?
Yeah, but I think it's okay that I feel relief. It's quite understandable that I feel relief. It's been a long 2 years, and then I just feel sad at the same time. I feel like all of them, and I mourn the loss of who my mom used to be. She had dementia, and she's been gone for a long time, that mom. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being really normal and I'm fine. I
Are
don't
you
know.
so? Let's revisit the relief. Are you okay with feeling relieved?
Yes. Yeah, I am.
So tell me why it's okay to feel relieved.
Because for a long time, almost 2 years, I have lived up there in Maine where she used to live, taking care of her, sold her house, did all the stuff, got rid of all her things, moved her down to Pennsylvania. She was 3 minutes away from my house, and then visited her many times during the week, and even on the days when I wasn't, I was doing something for her, buying her something, arranging for something, calling a doctor, calling a nurse, calling the eye doctor, that kind of stuff. So it would make sense that I feel extremely relieved that I don't have to do any of that anymore. That does make sense.
Okay. So can you, in your mind, can you separate the relief from the stunned that she's gone?
Yeah, I guess so. It's just the thoughts just fly in really fast. Like it'll be, I'll be, my brother just left, but we'll be at a restaurant and all of a sudden I'll go, oh my God, she's not here anymore. Like it just, it's kind of, it's just shocking that it just happened. Like I don't know.
Well, that's that, and honestly, that's your brain adapting to the change.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember, our primal brains, our survival instinct, this part back here, it doesn't like change. It likes everything to be the same. It wants to follow the same habits. Let's not use a lot of energy, all that kind of stuff, right? So when you have a thought that, oh my gosh, she's not here anymore, and it jars you.
Yeah.
Your habit center is going, wait, what? Are we sure?
I don't know.
She's supposed to be here and we're supposed to be doing all this work. That's what we're used to. So we can normalize it that way too. You're having you have a thought, she's not here anymore. Your habit brain goes, oh no, wait. That's jarring. That's stunning. We don't need to have, we don't need that big a change. Okay, yet you have this other side of your brain that's coming in, it's going, man, you know what? I just got all this time back in my day. I'm relieved for myself. I'm relieved for her. I'm relieved for, all these reasons. It's just like you're running two models at the same time.
Yeah, that's
And
it.
that's, yeah, and that's okay. We do it all the time.
Okay.
How many times have you been in the grocery store and thought about what you're going to have for dinner that night? That's two models. You're shopping, yet you're thinking about dinner. We do this all the time.
Okay, then I just ride the wave. And
You ride the wave, but you honor the feelings, just like I was talking to Julie about. You have to give yourself that permission to feel anything that comes up, including the guilt, because when you actually feel the guilt. When we talked about it, you were like, I don't know why I feel guilty. Because we actually put some focus in on it. I'm just judging myself for being relieved. And when you said that, it kind of brought more relief, didn't it? That's why we honor the feelings. That's why we feel them. That's why Betsy was right when she used to make you feel your feelings.
I know. I felt like emailing him. Okay, Betsy.
Because when you honor them, like I was telling Julie, they
Yeah.
resolve, they burn off. They might come back, but that's okay. You just honor them again. You let them be there. You figure out what is this feeling trying to tell me.
Yeah, that I'm gonna have to remember. I like that a lot. Like, okay, suddenly I'm feeling this. What's it trying to teach me? Or what can I learn from that?
What's going on around me that has me feeling this way?
Yeah.
What am I thinking that has me feeling this way?
And hopefully I'm not in the middle of Target when it happens.
You know what? If you are, you are.
I guess, yeah.
Why would it be a
Because
problem to be in Target and have a feeling?
Well, because my whole life I've had this really interesting ability. I'll just say interesting because I don't know what adjective to use. But my dad was an alcoholic, and I had an alcoholic, horrible life as a child. We'll just leave it at that. But I could leave some horrific situation at home, go to my friend's house, and turn it off just like that. And I surprised myself, and it was. Obviously it was a survival skill that I learned as a child. I'd go to elementary school and I would just, everything's fine, everything's perfect, and I've stopped doing that, but now, because of Betsy, and now I feel these things, and they're like, ugh, and I feel myself trying to like, go, oh no, can't do that here. Oh no, I have to pretend everything's fine. Or like when friends come over and they're all telling me they're sorry and they bring me soup and it's wonderful, I go right into that everything's fine, I'm happy mode, and I can see myself doing that, and I think I can't feel sad when I'm doing that. It's so weird, but I'm better. When I'm by myself, I'm better. But I'm so aware of things now because of this darn no BS thing. You know, it's teach me all this.
Well, here's the thing, the survival skill, we all learned survival skills as children, whether we had alcoholic parents or not. Okay, it was for whatever reason, we felt unsafe. We developed survival skills. A lot of times we brought them forward into adulthood because they were not challenged. Okay.
And
Now you're
I don't want to do that anymore, right?
right. No BS has challenged that survival skill in you and told you, Julie, you know what? You can feel anything you want, anytime you want, wherever you want. In fact, you'll be a healthier human if you allow your feelings.
And I won't die.
And
And
you
so I
won't
will
die.
survive it.
If you were to go down to Target right now and have a breakdown in the underwear aisle, you would be okay. You would, right? You might be, you might judge it, but you would survive it and you'd make it back to the car. You'd clean yourself up and you'd drive home.
And more than likely, I would hold myself together, get in the car, and then fall apart when I'm by myself. At least that's what I do today. But okay, well, yeah, I guess I just wanted to kind of run by you and make sure I'm like on the right page and doing it right.
I think
I know there's no right way, but
right. And I just want to make sure everybody hears this too. There's no right or wrong way to grieve. Okay. There's no process. There's no 14 steps or whatever they say. Everybody grieves in their own way and in their own time. Okay. If you choose to grieve by yourself in the quiet of your bedroom where nobody else can see it, that's fine as long as you're doing it. If you choose not to have a breakdown in the underwear aisle at Target, it's okay. But the more you resist the feeling, the more you like tamp it down, the harder it's going to come back when you're ready for it. So the more you can allow it when you can, the easier it is going to be for you to process.
And that's what I want to do. I do want to feel the feels and work through it. And I know it's going to take a long time. It's only been 4 or 5 days. So,
Right. And remember this, and you guys hear me whenever I coach grief, you hear me say this all the time. You wouldn't grieve if you didn't love. Okay. So the fact that you are grieving honors the love, the care, the support, everything you did for your mom, everything you felt for your mom, it honors all of that. If you choose not to grieve it, guess what you're also choosing not to feel? The love, the support, and all the things. You're whitewashing everything. Those two come together.
Yeah, I'm gonna remember
Do you believe me?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I'll see you in what, 3 weeks?
Yes.
Wow.
And Corinne will be very glad to hear that I haven't lost a single pound. And that's what he told me. So I'm just kidding. And that's from, for those of you who haven't heard that, that's just relating to another call. Not anything Corinne ever says to people.
You coming to the detox too?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
A
Okay.
week in Nashville. I'm ready.
Awesome. It's going to be so good. It's going to be amazing 5 days, no doubt.
Oh yeah. Wouldn't miss it. I can't wait.
All right. Find me. Let's hug.
Thank you. Okay,
All
thanks.
right. See you.
Bye.
Hey. Lisa? Lisa's iPhone? You are next. Here she comes. Awesome. See if we can get
I
you.
did.
Let's get your video too.
Okay, hold on.
There you are.
Oh, there I am.
Hi.
Sorry, I'm a newbie. I've not done this before, so
No,
I
you're
apologize.
good. You're good.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What are we coaching on?
So it's kind of okay. So I'll kind of give a little history and then kind of dive into what happened. So this time last year, I had a big upturn with like my work and my daughter moved. My daughter had gotten married and then she moved. And then I found out she was having a baby and she was taking my grandbaby out of state. So I had a bunch of stuff that I dealt with and I powered through. And then I had to have a surgery and I dealt with that and got through it all. And I was very proud of myself that I handled it all. I didn't gain any weight during any of that. I was still, trying to do all the right things to not eat instead of dealing with my stuff. But then just the other day, like last week, so a week ago, I had like got some kind of stomach flu. And I had gotten into the pattern of going to the gym 3 times a week. That was one of my little stress relievers to kind of keep my brain focused on other things. Then I get this stomach flu and I couldn't go because I didn't want to take the chance of being at the gym and having bad things happen. Didn't want to take that chance. So I was telling my husband, I said, yeah, I haven't worked out for like a week and a half. And he goes, my husband says to me, yeah, I've noticed you've gotten very lazy. And I don't know what that did to me, but that sent me into a tailspin for like 3 days of going between being angry, sad, and just annoyed as heck at my husband for saying that to me because I was like, but he still sees I'm working and I'm trying hard to still do these other things. I just physically could not make it to the gym. And I always tell people I'm a lot of things, but lazy is not one of them. I'm not a lazy person. I don't know why it upset me so much, but then I went and ate for 2 days because of it.
I don't know why it upset me so much.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I mean, I got like resentful, like, well, I don't see you doing anything to better yourself.
Why is what he said a problem?
It shouldn't be,
No, I
but
didn't ask you if it should or shouldn't be.
I think because growing up, my parents used the more of a negative reinforcement than a positive, and it just really hit home. It like really brought me back to that, 10-year-old little chubby girl who was continuing to gain weight.
Okay. So he says these words. It called up a memory for you. Then what?
Then I ate.
Okay. But what, so if we put the memory as the kind of the fact of the thing. Okay, this is what happened. This has happened in the past. This is whatever. What do you think about that memory?
It was painful.
Okay,
It was, I
painful is a
felt
feeling.
it was,
Why was it painful?
I felt like I was disappointing my parents.
Okay. Do you feel that way about your husband? Did you feel like you were disappointing him?
I don't know. I don't know if I felt like I was just really angry. I was very resentful.
Why were you resentful?
I think because I'm really trying, and for him to say that to me, and for him to say that knowing
it was a negative thing and it was not nice.
Okay.
Like, I guess I'm looking to my husband for support, not negativity.
Okay. Why do you need his support?
Need it? I don't need it.
Why are you
I
looking
want
to him? Oh, okay. Why? Oh, see, that's a very good nuance that you just came up with, right? Why do you want him? Why do you want his flowery words and his support?
to feel like my hard work's being noticed.
Okay. Who is the most important person to notice your hard work?
Myself.
Are
And my
you?
daughter.
Let's stick with myself, okay?
Okay, we'll go with
So, how are you talking to yourself about the work that you're doing and whether or not you're going to the gym?
I will say, when he told me that, I was like, well, I know I'm going to the gym, and I know I only took off for the gym for a very valid reason. I did have a conversation with myself where I sat down and was like, I have taken off the gym for a valid reason. I'm not using an excuse like I normally would have. I'm not being, I legitimately needed that time off. And I did acknowledge that and I did process that. And I, told myself nice things like, you want to get back to it. You know, you're going to get back to it. And I did yesterday. And that did make me feel better,
Okay, then why did
having
you
that
eat?
conversation.
Then what happened around the eating?
Well, I had that conversation after I'd already been already eaten.
Okay. So what was
The
the co see?
conversation came like the next day. That
Okay.
night is when I ate.
Okay. So what was the conversation like the night you ate?
Why is he being a jerk? Why is, I didn't use the word jerk. I used a different one, but I won't use
That's
it right
okay.
now.
I mean, look, we're in no BS. You can use whatever words you want,
I
right?
know, but you're always the nice one, so.
Oh, well, I don't censor anyone's words.
Okay. And I was very much just like, well, he's being a jerk, and why is he being mean to me? And he has room to talk. Like, he's not going to the gym ever. He's not watching what he eats. I'm the only one doing this. And I went on a rant.
Yeah. So do you see how different the conversations are?
Yeah.
It was all about him while you were super agitated, annoyed, angry, all the things.
Right.
And then how did you feel when you started supporting yourself?
I felt much better.
Right.
Yeah,
So
I was
he
able to
says,
calm myself down.
right. So we have, again, we have two different strings of thoughts and feelings going on here. Same things that he said, which is, yeah, I've noticed, whatever, you've been lazy the past few days or whatever it was. That's what I wrote down. Yeah, I've noticed dash lazy. So I skipped
Yeah.
a few words. Okay. Then you have a whole string of thoughts about him that lead to angry, sad, annoyed, and eating. And then you have another string of thoughts that are about you that lead to what was the feeling again?
That I felt about myself.
When you were talking about, it was okay that you didn't go to the gym. When you were giving yourself those
Yeah.
reassurances, what was that? What that feeling? What was that feeling?
That felt very soothing.
Soothing. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
And when you have the feeling of soothing, are you overeating?
No.
No. That's the whole crux of it. Okay. When you are giving yourself what you need, it doesn't matter what he said.
Yeah.
And we don't even know what his intent was. That's in his head. Okay. But
Yeah.
when you're showing up for yourself and you're doing your own self-care and you're talking to yourself carefully and you're finding those self-soothing words and actions and gestures, you're not eating.
Yeah.
Right. You have created that calm inside your body, in your nervous system, so
Yeah.
that you don't have the
Okay.
urges to eat.
So I just need to focus more on soothing.
Well, soothing can be that this is so fascinating. Soothing can be a feeling, or it can be an action. It can be something you do in order to make yourself feel better. That's where things like pause plus permission come in, where you say, all right, you can eat, but for 10 minutes, we got to do something that we like that might comfort us first, whether it's
Oh, I
rapid.
haven't
Yeah.
heard of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Think about going home from work and you're super agitated and all you want to do is hit the pantry. Okay. Has this ever happened to anybody? Right. But if you walk in the house and you say, all right, I can hit the pantry, but not for 10 minutes. For 10 minutes, I have to do something else to self-soothe. It could be go outside and sit on the deck in the sunshine. It could be take a quick walk. It could be go grab a warm shower. It could be wrap up in a blanket. It could be ask your husband or your partner or your kids for a hug, something else to see if something else other than eating will help take the temperature down on the emotion and on the nervous system.
Okay, I like that. I can do that.
Yeah. So Corinne introduced this concept a long time ago. It's called pause plus permission. I talk about it all the time because I think it's so stinking helpful. Because if you walk in the house and you go, no, we're not eating tonight, even though we're, stressed out and angry and sad and annoyed, all your brain's going to want to do is eat. But if you say, all right, we'll eat, but we're going to try something else first. Then after you've done that 10 minutes, there's a good a chance as not that you're not going to have the urges to eat anymore because you've brought your nervous system down in another way.
Okay,
Because
I
that's all
can do
that's
that.
really happened. When you're way agitated and upset and everything, your nervous system is jacked up and your body knows it and it doesn't like it. So it wants to bring it back down. And what we've taught it over time is to eat. Right?
Definitely.
Well, think about, I mean, you've got a new baby in the family, right? What happens? What
It's on
happens
his
when that
way.
baby cries? We
Well,
stick a bottle. Oh,
He's almost here. It's
almost here.
almost time.
Okay. Well, when
Almost.
he cries, what's his mama gonna do? Stick a bottle in his mouth.
Yep.
We start from the day that they're born saying eating helps you feel better. Right? And that baby's probably hungry. Who knows? Can't tell us. But that's what we're going to try first. We go through our entire lives saying, eating's going to make me feel better.
Yeah, it's true.
Eating doesn't solve feelings. Eating only like puts them in the corner for a little while. And then when we're done eating, guess what? They come rushing back.
With a vengeance.
Yeah. That's why after you experienced annoyed, sad, angry, and ate, that's why you had to move into self-soothing another way because the eating didn't work. Your self-talk worked, made you feel better.
I just need to start doing the self-talk sooner.
Girl, we all do. It's a practice. Give yourself some grace and but know, now you have evidence that that worked.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay? And everybody on this call has evidence that that can work. Sometimes you just got to get up the gumption to get in your journal and find it. Find the right words.
All right. I can do that. Well, thank you. I really
You're
appreciate
welcome.
it.
You're welcome. All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. There's one question in the Q&A. Let's roll with that. Can you please elaborate on pause plus permission? I think I did a little bit, but I will go over it one more time. So, if you think about when you have an urge to eat, okay, and you're not hungry, you know it's a stress response. It's a response to whatever's going on around you. I just need to have I come in. I'll use my example again. I'm coming in from work. The kids are running around the house. I've got dinner to fix. There's no, I'm stressed after work. I used to go straight to the pantry. I would get me a stack of Oreos and I'd sit them by the stove and eat them while I was cooking dinner. That was the relief in air quotes, I gave myself. But that didn't resolve the stress. So instead, had I come in the house and said, everybody clear out, mom's off limits for 10 minutes, I'm going outside, I'm going to sit and I'm going to listen to the birds chirp just for 10 minutes. That's the pause. So many things, so many amazing things happen in the pause. Okay. Because if you allow your nervous system to settle down and you become more resilient with what's going on around you in that pause, then you don't need to eat. So the key is not to restrict yourself from eating, it's to say, I can eat, but I need to do something else first for 10 minutes just to see if that works, if that helps bring the temperature down. Does that make sense? Y'all want to give me a thumbs up or something like that? Tell me if that makes sense. Good. Awesome. Kim says pause plus permission is one of the best tools we have here at No BS. Good. Good, good, good. All right. We are just about at time. Let's make sure. Oh, there's one more question. Let's see what this question is. Can you suggest other ways to raise ourselves up from below home base besides moving and journaling? Yes, breathing. Breathing is the answer to so many things. So when you are below home base, you have lower energy in your body. Okay. You might feel like you're slumped over, your posture's bad, you're just low energy. Think about how you feel when you're exhausted. That's low energy. Breath work can solve so many things, but to raise the energy in your body with breath work, you want to do a long, strong inhale and a shorter exhale. Okay, picture yourself inhaling energy. And then, so you might inhale all the way down to your diaphragm to a count of eight. And then when you exhale, you'll exhale to a count of six. The opposite works if you are above home base and you have added energy. You want to have a shorter inhale and a longer exhale. Picture yourself blowing out the extra energy if you're above home base. Okay? So adding energy to your body slowly when you're below home base with a longer inhale and exhale might do the trick for you. Okay? All right. Anything else? Oh, there's another Q&A. Let's grab this one. Oh, nope, that was it. That was it. All right, everybody. Thank you for coming. I do hope this was helpful. I love, love, love teaching this nervous system stuff. I really, really believe if we know what's going on inside of us and we honor our feelings, we live fuller, healthier, more satisfying lives. And we don't overeat as much. It's a big deal. So pay attention, always pay attention to what your body's telling you. Think about it. You're all the time asking yourself, am I hungry? Have I had enough? What if you ask yourself, what is this feeling in my body? Why is it here and what's it trying to tell me? Right? So good. Okay. You guys have a great night, and I will see you in the Facebook and in the Ask Coaches. Bye.